Welcome to Grow Chats 2020, short chats about the Bible, prayer, songs, books, and life. Use this chat to prompt a conversation with someone in your life. Today's episode is a song chat inspired by Hebrews 1 with Bloss Wilson and Natalie Newell. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel so you don't miss further episodes.
Hi everyone, and welcome to this, our fourth Grow Chat. My name is Nat, and the lovely Bloss is joining me today to talk about singing, particularly how we might consider it in light of Hebrews 1. So Bloss, I've been really looking forward to this chat with you today to hear some of your reflections and also to get to know you a little more. So can you tell us a bit about yourself, especially your taste in music?
Hi, Nat. Thanks for that introduction. So I'm Bloss. My church family that I go to is Living Church Springfield Campus. I go there with my husband, Josiah. I've had the great joy of serving in music ministry there for a number of years now. I just love singing with my brothers and sisters in Christ. But honestly, when you ask about my taste in music, that's something I caught quite a bit of flack for. So the Backstreet Boys are my favourite band. I love country music. I love the 80s. I love pop. But I love all sorts of music. And more seriously, I really love songs that give expression to something I deeply feel or believe or have wrestled with. Those kind of songs feel really precious to me and they often feel quite formative. What about you?
I'm part of the church family at Central Church in Ipswich. And I'm not directly involved in music ministry, but I'm definitely an enthusiastic singer when we get to gather together. And I'm just so thankful to God for those who just really do have gifts in music and lead my church just really thoughtfully each week. I really appreciate that. When it comes to music, I guess I'm a bit partial to folk rock. Have no idea if that's the right genre term. And of course, a few 90s classics. I love a good story. So any song that takes me through a journey, I really appreciate. I think I also love music that my husband and I can do some daggy dancing to, because that's a real hit when you've got three teenagers. They just love it. Not. So, Bloss, I've got a really hard-hitting question for you straight up. It's the big question coming out of this COVID experience and the live stream services. Are you standing or are you sitting when it comes to singing?
Oh, great question. Well, my church has been doing services and so singing songs together over Zoom. And I must admit, for the Zoom services, none of us really stand up. I think it makes it a bit awkward because most of us are sitting in front of our computers, which are face level. So maybe that feels a bit odd to stand up.
I get it. I think I was the same. I thought about standing the first week, but like you, it just felt a bit weird. So I don't know. Perhaps there's a tipping point in regards to how many people you need to sing with you before it feels normal. I really don't know about that one.
I reckon there's truth in that. And it's funny, I actually really like that you asked that question because I was sort of thinking, you know, the posture of our hearts before God is what is more important to him than what our bodies are doing. He created us with bodies. And so, you know, I'm convinced the posture of our bodies can really influence our hearts, whether we're standing up or sitting or kneeling or bowing or raising our hands. So I feel like that's actually a good thing to think about, even as we're doing online church.
Yeah, totally agree. And I guess out of this experience, let's just hope that singing that has been coming out of our homes during this time of isolation has been just a really powerful witness to our neighbours. I'm sure a few of them have wondered what's going on, but who knows how God has used our witness as we've just been singing the gospel into the streets of our city. So let's hope, people have heard truth perhaps for the first time through that. I guess when it does come to corporate singing, Bloss, I think chatting to friends from church, it seems like that's one of the things people are really, really missing. And just in regards to the Grow Conference, I just know being able to sing with 1,000 women is just a real highlight for many of us.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think singing is so important, especially in things like that and for us as Christians?
Yeah, I think there's heaps of reasons. just a few that come to mind just straight away for me is, I think one, we've been created by a singing God. I love, you know, those verses in Zephaniah that reminds us that, you know, he rejoices over us in singing. But he's also given us everything that we physically need to sing. I love that he's given us a songbook in the Psalms. And I think for me personally, why I love singing so much, and I don't know if you can relate to this, Bloss, but I'm just really forgetful. And so singing just gives me a soundtrack that helps me remember the gospel. It helps me to memorize scripture, and it just helps me remember God's character, especially when we go out into the world. All these temptations can roll in that can cause us to look away from God. And I just think having that soundtrack of the gospel is just super, super helpful. But what about you? Why do you think singing is so important to us as Christians?
Oh, I mean, just amen to everything that you've said. And I am the same. I'm forgetful like that too, and I need those songs. And just listening to you, Nat, it makes me feel like, because of all those things, I think it's just something that God has created us to love to do. I think because he's designed us in his image and with music in our hearts as a way that we remember and experience togetherness and can express our emotions and convictions in the gospel. That's just a really precious thing. As I think about why we sing together as Christians, I think something that's really profoundly shaped and encouraged me about singing in church in particular, it's actually something I heard from Peter and Catherine Yock, and stay tuned for Catherine in a future song chat podcast, is that when we sing together as God's people, we're invited into this beautiful three-dimensional thing. First, we're receiving from God as we hear his word and hear gospel truths in the words of the songs. Second, we're responding back to God in praise, in delight, in lament, in repentance, in worship, in one voice as his people. And third, as we stand and sing together and hear one another's voices singing the same truths and responding in the same praise, we are encouraging one another. We're preaching to one another through our singing, and we're spurring one another on. I just found that really profound, you know, as we engage in these sort of three dimensions or these three things simultaneously. I think it means that when we sing together, it has a really precious and unique place in our life together as God's people.
Yeah, plus that's just really helpful. I think particularly as we come out of a passage like Hebrews 1, I think we can have that tendency to think that music leads us into God's presence, but thinking of that three-dimensional thing, we just realize that it's not necessarily music that leads us into God's presence. We're actually responding to the gospel, and the truth that we see in Hebrews is that the great high priest and it's his finished work that's what allows us to draw near. I think that can be with music as well, that it's not music that causes us to have joy. The gospel does, and so our singing is a joyful response to the majestic one that we read about in Hebrews 1. And yeah, like you said, what a gift that we get to do this together.
Yes, that's so true. Ephesians 5, you know, 19 to 20, those verses are a really clear reminder of that, just where it says, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's just such a beautiful picture. And like you, I love how our singing and our praise and our thanks to God is addressed in that to one another in that way.
I love that you shared that passage of scripture. And yeah, singing is such a one another activity, isn't it? Like through song, we get to build one another up. We can teach one another, we strengthen one another, we encourage one another, and we remind each other of truth. God recently gave me just this beautiful visual theology to go with that Ephesians passage that you shared. Don't think for a moment that this is a normal day in the life of the Newell family. It is not. But this particular day, it was certainly great reason for my heart to sing. It was just as restrictions were easing. So we had a young family from church over for dinner. They have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and we have 3 kids. Our youngest is 13. And it was as us adults were sitting out in the back room, we heard the kids starting to play instruments. So one was on the guitar, one was on the piano, little Charlie was on a toy guitar, and all 5 kids were singing songs from church. And you know what? It was just completely natural. It just seemed like it was the most obvious thing for them to do, especially because it had just been so long since they'd been together in church. And it was just a reminder to me that we do speak the same gospel language as God's people. And just watching the kids that night, just realized that song was the vehicle that they could use just to speak the gospel into one another's lives. So regardless of age, song was just and is just such a beautiful, beautiful way that we can do that.
Wow, that is such a great story. And I just find that so encouraging and so beautiful that, yeah, like you said, to sing their church songs together is just so natural. And really they're embodying something that's true for all of us. And that's that, it, you know, it's natural for God's people to sing in response to the gospel. Actually reminds me of a book that I read on singing in church. I read it last year. It's a book called Sing, and it's written by Keith and Kristen Getty. I found it such an incredibly encouraging read. It's short, it's readable, and it makes such a compelling biblical case for the importance of singing together. And I think that one of my favourite things about this book is that it's not actually written primarily for music teams or for music leaders. It's very deliberately written for congregations, for every Christian who joins in the singing at church, whether you think of yourself as musical or not. So it's a book I would recommend to anyone.
Yeah, I've taken you up on that recommendation, Bloss. I grabbed my copy last week.
Oh, that's so good. I hope you enjoy it. And well, you know, I reckon it's an especially worthwhile read if you don't think of yourself as a singer or don't like singing.
Yep, you pick me again. Yep.
Well, that's perfect. And I mean, yeah, so the Gettys point out the truth that God has actually made all of us singers. Like you were reflecting with your kids, it's just a natural thing that we were created to do, and that he's far more concerned with our hearts and with our integrity as singers than he is with our pitch or our tone. So as you'll read in this book, God creates us to sing, he commands us to sing, and in light of the gospel, we are also compelled to sing. As I've been reading Hebrews 1 and listening to Robin and Jen's Bible chat on Hebrews 1 and some of the other great chats so far, I couldn't stop thinking about how this vision of Jesus from Hebrews 1 compels us to sing. You know, we open this beautiful chapter and we see the Son who is the Word of God, the very radiance of God, who upholds the universe and through whom all things were created. You know, the Son who is better than the angels and who is off the scale superior to everything, as Robin was saying. The Son for all his majesty and glory left the air of heaven to breathe the dust of earth for us and now invites us to share his life and his victory. You know, that Jesus is just so compelling. I'm doing some research on Augustine at the moment, one of the early church fathers, and he has some really great thoughts on singing. He holds it in really high regard as something that God's people do together. But I was especially struck as I was reading about a struggle that he talks about in his Confessions, where he's seeing both the great delight and usefulness of singing in how it lifts him and others up in devotion to God. And yet he also feels this danger in delighting in the music itself rather than what or who he is actually singing about. And he takes that incredibly seriously. Augustine is really self-reflective. It's something I love about his writings. And that insight certainly challenged me. I was sort of thinking, you know, we can fall into the danger of not valuing singing enough. You know, I think reading Sing will help a lot with that. But maybe for anyone who loves music, it can be easy to fall into this danger that Augustine talks about, of loving singing or music as an end in itself. We can see that in our own delight or disappointment, depending on how we feel about the music church. Now, I mean, music and singing are undoubtedly a beautiful gift from God. Singing isn't just functional, it's something to be enjoyed. But I think Augustine helpfully reminds us that the heart of our singing has to be delight in Jesus. It's ultimately always a response to our glorious God and his gospel of grace.
Yeah. Plus, thank you so much. They're just beautiful reflections. And I guess reading Hebrews 1 is a bit like our own Isaiah 6 moment. You know, when he had that moment of complete awe, having seen the King, the Lord of hosts in all his glory. It's a bit like us when we think, well, how am I going to respond in song after I've read Hebrews 1? Because all of a sudden we realize that singing is not primarily about us. In that passage when we're confronted with Jesus' majesty, yeah, it's not surprising that Augustine had those thoughts about music. Just what you've raised, I think they pose really good questions for me when it comes to music, and perhaps for any Christian who's aware of just worship wars that can go on in our churches. I think they're really good questions that I need to ask. Is my singing going to be from a heart that has been captivated by the reigning Christ, or am I going to sing with a heart that's actually distracted by other things, including my own selfish desires? So, yeah, I think you've given me some really good things just to consider there. So, Bless, can I change track a little bit? With you being involved in music ministry in your church, what songs come to mind from Hebrews 1 that you think would help to set our minds and our hearts on Jesus? So perhaps have you got a hymn that you could kick us off with?
Yes, yeah, sure. I'd love to do that. And yeah, there's actually a great hymn that I reckon fits really well with Hebrews 1. It's a great hymn by Charles Wesley called Rejoice, the Lord is King. It's actually a song that we're planning to start singing later in this year at my church, God willing. But it's such a great song for Hebrews 1. In Hebrews 1, the second half of verse 3, it says, He upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. In that verse, it's talking about Jesus' ascension, that he returned to heaven, he seated at God's right hand and rules from there. As our music team was chatting about this song last year, we were reflecting that at church, we talk about Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection quite a lot, but probably not as much about his ascension and what that means for us. And Hebrews 1 is just such an important passage for that. And so this great Wesley hymn fills a gap in that space as we sing that Jesus sits at God's right hand and that when he purged our stains, he took his seat above. And in light of this, it's really right that we encourage one another to, as the song says, rejoice that the Lord is King. And actually another great hymn to sneak in for Hebrews 1, and especially this picture of Jesus, the ascended and reigning Son of God, is Jesus Shall Reign. And the Gettys have done a lovely recording of that one.
Oh, it's great that you can share those hymns to consider. And I just think through the church has just been so gifted throughout history with just some really thoughtful and just real Christ-centered songwriters, haven't we? Like, it's amazing the beautiful songs that have been written. Okay, what else have you got? What, any other suggestions that you think we can sing in response to Hebrews 1?
Sure. A second great one is Glorious Christ by Sovereign Grace. It's just this wonderful, lyrically rich song that invites us to wonder at the glorious Christ, you know, the Christ of Hebrews 1. Who is the greatest of all delights, whose power and love is unequaled. That's just some of the lines in this song and just captures so well what Hebrews 1 is doing. It gives voice to our collective awe-filled marvelling simply at who Jesus is in all his glory and incomparableness. and what he's done for us. Is that a word? It's a word now. And yeah, just reflecting on what he's done for us in coming so low to dwell among us and lay down his life for us. It's one of those songs that's really reflective and rich and just really beautiful to sing.
Yeah, I agree. So how about when you first read through Hebrews 1, was there a song that immediately jumped into your head?
Ah, funny you say that. There actually was. And it's funny because it's certainly got plenty of ideas from Hebrews 1, but maybe not as explicitly as some of the other songs. But it's the song Jesus, Son of God by Chris Tomlin. It did just jump straight in my head, and I love this song. Lyrically, it's not quite as dense or rich maybe as the other songs we've talked about so far, but the lyrics are just gospel drenched and so beautiful and just lift high the name of Jesus the Son, who is better than all else and whose name is above every name. I just find that those lyrics and the particular musicality of this song really invites you into this wholehearted responsiveness to Christ. I just find it such a delight to sing this song to Jesus, you know, the glorious Son of Hebrews 1.
That's awesome. Well, I think we might have time for one more favourite from your Hebrews 1 playlist, Bloss. What would it be?
I reckon I'll throw in Come Hear the Angels Sing by Emi Music. I just reckon this is a great song for Hebrews 1. I like how it captures the angels' language and it shows Jesus is not just superior to the angels, but as being praised by the angels and by all of creation. He's the one who is better than everything else, and you just see that in this song. I also love that it's a nice upbeat song. I used to really love singing this song when we sang it at church a few years ago, just for how joyful and victorious it felt to sing it. The other songs I've talked about so far have been mostly more on the mellow side. I think it is important for us in our churches and even in our own personal or family singing, to have a bit of a varied diet of songs, you know, both upbeat and joyful, as well as slow and reflective, and also to include, you know, different styles, different songwriters, hymns and older songs from church history, as well as the modern choruses. I know I find for myself different songs can just challenge and encourage you and invite you more into the fullness of Christian life and experience, as well as expose our blind spots from being modern people. And, you know, on that note, I'll sneakily say you could even listen to something like Handel's Messiah that's very different musically to everything we've talked about, and so can bring this freshness and wonder to our minds and hearts in beholding our glorious Lord Jesus. And in part two of the Messiah, you'll actually find verses 5 to 6 of Hebrews 1 if you're listening carefully and can spot it.
Oh, right, really? Okay, I have to look out for that. I did think that you threw in a bonus track there, Bloss, but while we're at it, any more suggestions, especially for those who have kids, or if you just want some help in remembering some Bible verses, have you got one more?
Yeah, well, actually, there is Colin Buchanan has done a memory verse song for Hebrews 1:1-2.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's pretty fun, as Colin usually is. As I was listening to it, I was like, my goodness, I wouldn't have thought Hebrews 1:1-2 are the kind of verses I would give a kid for a memory verse, but that's the power of music. Like, it's really catchy and it works.
Fantastic. That's great. Well, Bloss, you have given us such a treasure chest. We're going to throw these songs that you've suggested and a few others up on the Grow website for anyone who's listening. And I guess there is a bit of uncertainty for us right now as to when we might be able to sing together again. So I think our playlists are going to be getting a real workout. And yeah, just from what you shared, Bloss, I just think my own devotional time can really benefit by perhaps just taking even just one of those songs that you recommended, looking up the lyrics and just using the beautiful words that others have written just to help me meditate on God's word. You know, I really want God's word to dwell in me richly, and I just think song is just such a great tool to help with that.
It's a great idea. Maybe you could even pick a song you've been enjoying it and share it with a friend and have a chat about why you appreciated it as you're reading Hebrews 1.
Yeah, and why don't we all just take even another step, and maybe we could ask a friend who doesn't yet know Jesus what songs they're listening to, and God might give us an opportunity to share what's on our playlist, and more importantly, he might give us that opportunity just to share the reason for the hope that we have. So I guess just to wrap up, there's so much in Hebrews 1 that we can meditate on and that we can sing about with that beautiful image of the reigning Christ. But I think the passage also, it does push us to think about our future glory when we'll still be singing around his throne, but we'll never be separated from one another again. So, Bloss, I'm wondering, are you happy to pray for us to keep our eyes fixed on him until that glorious day?
I'd love to do that. Thanks, Nat. Okay, yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, our holy, glorious, and gracious God, thank you that you've spoken to us in many times and in many ways, but especially that you've spoken to us through your beautiful Son, Jesus, through whom you created the world and through whom you've saved us from our sin. Lord, we pray, would you use your wonderful gift of songs and of singing by the power of your Spirit to fix our eyes upon Jesus and our future hope in him, to form our hearts and our minds in knowledge of and delight in him, and to encourage one another in him, and all the more as the day grows near. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this Grow Chat. We hope you found it as encouraging as we did, and we look forward to having you with us next time. Remember to share this episode with others and subscribe and leave us a review in your favourite podcast app.